B-Pod Studios.
Today on Talkin' Rock with Meltdown.
Ahmet Zappa is up first on the Talkin' Rock with Meltdown podcast. His new documentary is out called Zappa, and it talks about Frank Zappa's life.
Having people understand that my father was a composer and the life of a composer.
We talked about the choice to get Alex Winter, of course best known for his Bill and Ted fame, to make this documentary. What advice would he give Wolfgang Van Halen? And what was it like growing up in the Zappa household?
Whatever we wanted to be, if that was the thing that was going to bring us happiness and if that gave us joy to artistically express ourselves in our own unique ways, I grew up with the benefit of having parents that celebrated that and wanted to foster that.
Drummer Jeff Plate from the Trans-Siberian Orchestra makes a return visit to the Talkin' Rock with Meltdown podcast. Instead of touring this year with everything that's going on, he'll actually be home for Christmas.
I'm going to make the best of it. We're going to get our own tree. We're going to, we're going to do it up.
What's going on with one of his other bands, Sabotage?
Hey, I will never say never.
I did ask him about Frank Zappa as well, and Frank does garner a reaction from people.
Boy, yes, but not a lot.
It's Ahmet Zappa and Jeff Plate today on Talkin' Rock.
This is Talkin' Rock. Talkin' Rock. Your backstage pass to some of your favorite rock artists. Here's your host, Meltdown.
Back at it. Another edition of Talkin' Rock with Meltdown. Thank you so much for joining me today. Another good one for you on tap. Talking with Jeff Plate from Trans-Siberian Orchestra coming up here in just a few minutes. And I talked to them back at the end of October, I want to say. And they said, hey, this TSO... live stream is coming up again. Would you want to talk to him? And Jeff's a good guy, so we'll talk to him coming up here in a few. And I had to figure out some different questions to ask him. So I threw out some stuff that I normally don't talk to him about, which is kind of interesting. So we'll get to that here coming up in just a bit. But first, Ahmet Zappa is up. And as I stated in the interview, I was never really like a huge Zappa fan, and I bought a couple of his records, like a year or two ago. And now I've got like four of them, and they're just great. And just awesome records to listen to. And he was really a musical genius, man. Really brilliant. If you get a chance, watch this documentary, Zappa. It was produced by Alex Winter, of course, from Bill and Ted fame, as I said in the intro. And it's just an interesting look. And what's really cool about it is it's chronological. And I only had 10 minutes with Ahmet because I could have talked to him for a long time about just the documentary. I had tons of questions ready to go, but he does answer the questions thoroughly, so I didn't get a ton of questions in there to ask him about. But we talked about different things, like what kind of advice he'd give Wolfgang and stuff like that, and of course picking Alex to make this documentary and whatnot. But yeah, I highly recommend going back because they show the vaults and Ahmet talks about the vaults a little bit in the interview. But and part of the documentary they show the vault. In Frank's house, and it is like ridiculous. I mean, there's got to be a million hours of things, and he talks about how this film crew would follow his dad around, and it is something. If you watch this documentary, a lot of Frank's life was filmed, as you could tell. There's just a ton of stuff out there that Frank Zappa. I mean, that we might see light of day coming up for years to come. So anyways, I was connected to Ahmet, one of these, through one of these three-way calls, and we were off and running today on Talkin' Rock.
I'm here.
Hey, man, nice to talk to you. I actually have a little bit of a... When I first got into radio in 1990, my first boss was a guy by the name of Art Wander, and he said, I'll never forget this, he lived with your father in the late 60s, early 70s, perhaps, for a few weeks in New York because he was programming a radio station and they wanted him to get the real vibe of the culture. So they set him up with your dad.
Wow.
Yeah. I don't know if you ever heard that story or not.
Never heard that. That's fascinating.
Yeah. So anyways, but I love the documentary. I watched it last night. It's so fantastic. I got tons of questions, so we'll get right at it. But so the choice of Alex Winter, did you pick him or was it the other way around to make this documentary?
So my mother would bring me in on, meetings where we'd been approached by, honestly, great filmmakers in their own right, and it just was never the right vibe. And I get this phone call from Alex one day. We've been friends for, many years. We know each other. And he was like, hey, how come there hasn't been a doc on your dad? And I kind of gave him the brief history of, you know, people have tried, and you know, there's just the best I can do, Alex. I totally believe in you. I love your films. You know, let me educate Gail on the stuff that you're working on. And so I, you know, got Gail a bunch of his films and set up a meeting between all of us, and I just watched this kinship, this friendship that was formed between Alex and Gail, you know, and this trust that was established. Alex was really methodical. He's a very intentional, you know, thoughtful director person. He made a sizzle, you know, like a little trailer of what it could be, and the tone of it was right, the feeling of it was right, and, you know, Gail was like, okay, let's do this. And, you know, my mother was sick at the time, and, you know, I knew that. Alex didn't necessarily know that, and through their friendship and process, my mother was really open and said, look, if you to make the movie you want to make, you're going to need and want total access to what was in the vault. And then I knew that we were really off to the races, you know, from that perspective, because that had never happened. That was like, wow, all right. So,
yeah.
You know, this is great. Congratulations, Alex. You just accomplished the impossible. And, you know, we had our starts and stops along the way. It's a six-year journey to get here. And, you know, my mother passed, which was horrible, and she had every intention of you know, seeing the movie and being here with us. But I know she'd be really proud, because I think it's a very honest portrayal of Frank, warts and all. And that was something that was important to myself as a producer and my mother, for Alex to have... you know, tell the story he wanted to tell without us trying to muck it up, you know? And that's why we're like, nope, you got director's cut, you know, this is your movie, you know, and we talked about things that might be important to us, and I think that comes through in the film. You know, the number one thing, having people understand that my father was a composer and the life of a composer, and, you know, I know Gail would be so proud of this film. I am. I'm biased, but I think it's kick-ass, you know, and I hope people enjoy it.
No, I love it. And, so I'm 51, and I just kind of, I think I bought some of your dad's records last year, just kind of on a whim. I'm kind of discovering all this stuff. And, of course, I knew who your dad was, you know, growing up and stuff, but I never really dove into his music. And now I'm, like, kind of addicted. So when I had a chance to talk to you, I'm like, exactly. So let me ask you about this. I mean, I'm 51, like I said. Talk about the importance of maybe this exposing your dad's music and everything he's done to a younger generation.
Well, look, we didn't go into it thinking those kinds of things, but if that's part of the outcome, if younger people experience the music, I have a 10-year-old and a four and a half year old, and. You know, if I think about the world that they're growing up in, where they're just putting their own media out there and other companies own it, you know,
mm-hmm.
And then you look at the fact that my dad, you know, you didn't have iPhones back then, so the fact that he has all this footage and had to pay for that, you know, you had to pay for a crew to follow you around and get the sound. It was just these Herculean expenses. And, you know, so I hope that, I guess the takeaway is, people to stay true to their art. You know, I think in this movie you get a real sense of someone who put whatever money he was making, risked so much to continue to manifest his art into the world, and that can be super, super challenging. And my dad really did it against all odds. He was never chasing some corporate pop. You know, he wasn't trying to write hits. He was making art, and he was hilarious. You know, I think people will see it, and hopefully they'll be inspired to be true to themselves. You know, that's my takeaway. Because I grew up in that environment. We were, you know, whatever we wanted to be. If that was the thing that was going to bring us happiness, and if that gave us joy to artistically express ourselves in our own unique ways, that's, you know, I grew up with the benefit of having parents that celebrated that and wanted to foster that. And I hope that that comes through in this documentary and might inspire more people to do that, you know?
Now, I'm running out of time here. I could talk about documentary for the next 3 hours, but I just wanted to ask you about this real fast. I just talked to Wolfgang Van Halen. You know, you kind of understand, like, what he's going through. What kind of advice would you give a kid like that, or have you reached out to him?
I haven't reached out to him. I think my brother has, and, you know, it's just a mixed bag. The best advice, he knows what to do. It's a personal family experience. I'm sure he will find his way, and it doesn't matter what you know, outside voices. You know, these are opinions. They didn't live the life. You know, he had the whole benefit of the intimate world and the personal relationship with his father. But you know, think about this. You know, Edward put out just a handful of records, but he was also recording all day long.
Mm.
So you know that there's a vault of all of this amazing music. You know, I know this from so many sources, that they were recording all of the time. So, you know, hopefully we'll all get to experience those things. And I know that Wolfgang will always do the right thing. He's an amazing artist in his own right. And, my just heart goes out to him. No, people are just cruel. Believe me. Even you can get it from all sides, from other family members and all of that stuff. And, you know, when you deal with loss, you know, cuckoo things can happen, but you weather the storm and it all works out in the end. It really does.
Well, I'll tell you what, that's my time. It's a real privilege to talk to you. The documentary is outstanding. I really enjoyed it last night. And real fast, I just want to say, when I was first getting the radio, Pump Up the Volume was a movie that kind of inspired me a little bit. So I guess you have a little part in that, too. So.
Sweet baby Jesus, bro. Thank you for making me remember a time when I was infinitely skinnier and had a full head of hair. Thank you so much.
All right. Hey, Matt, thanks so much for the time. Good luck with everything, and happy Thanksgiving and everything else. So.
Thank you, man.
Yeah, that documentary is killer. I mean, if you're a music fan and you're not that familiar with Frank Zappa, I would suggest checking it out just for that fact, because it's like, like he says, his dad was a composer. He was not really a rock star, even though he had some rock star moments in his life. And battling with the PMRC, they talk about that. The PMRC, what did that stand for? The People's Music Research Group or something, whatever it was, I can't remember, back in the mid-80s, but they weren't really going after Frank. They were going after other guys, and the other guys weren't really sticking up for themselves, so Frank actually stuck up for them. You might remember Dee Snider was involved in all that kind of stuff, but anyways, it's a fascinating documentary if you get a chance. It's $6.99 on I watched on Amazon Prime last night, and you get it for like a month or something, so I'm probably going to watch it again.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Finally, it's Jeff Plate today on Talkin' Rock with Meltdown. They're going to be live streaming their Trans-Siberian Orchestra performance this year. Of course, this year, everything's gone kind of haywire. And, so they're going to be live streaming it coming up on December 18th. All the details are on the website for the radio station, WRIF.com. And, of course, you can Google TSO and the whole thing. But Jeff was nice enough to join us again as they get ready to do that next weekend as I record this on December 18th. How's things going with you, man?
Well, all things considered, I'm doing well. Every once in a while, it just kind of hits home that I really should not be sitting here at home. I should be somewhere in some city on stage playing, but it is what it is.
Yeah, that's got to be unusual. This is, how long have you toured with TSO at this time of year?
Well, I've been here from the very beginning. I've done every live show. So in 99 to 2001, I believe, the tour really lasted basically from Thanksgiving to Christmas Eve.
Uh-huh.
So it was much shorter. But now, you know, and ever since then, it has been beginning of November, mid-November, right up until December 30th. So this is the first time in, you know, 18, 17 years that I've been home for Christmas. So I'm going to make the best of it. We're going to get our own tree. We're going to, you know, we're going to do it up. But nonetheless, I would much rather be on the road doing what we do.
Now, what kind of things do you guys do on Christmas Day as a crew and as a band and stuff?
Well, as you can imagine, I mean, if you look at our touring schedule, by that time of the tour, we're all pretty beat up.
Yeah.
It is a long, grueling tour. Christmas Day really is a day off, you know, and we generally get Christmas Eve and Christmas Day off. But, you know, we all get together as a group, you know, the crew and the band. Everybody is able to invite their family and friends if they would like to. So TSO really, really goes to great lengths to make sure that we are as accommodated and, you know, happy as we can be at this time of year. We know it's tough for a lot of people to be away from home, especially ones with little kids. You know,
yeah.
that's where it gets a little tricky. But hey, for the most part, you know, this is TSO is my extended family. So we make the best of it. We have a good time. And we also realize on Christmas Day, we still have at least another week of touring left. So there's a lot of work to be done.
Yeah. So now this year, of course, you're going to be doing the live thing, the Faith Noel in Nashville. Now you're still in New York, right? Right now, as I
yes.
talk to you. Okay. So
yep.
When do you go down to Nashville?
I leave at the end of the week.
Okay. And then you guys will rehearse?
Yeah, we get there. I mean, we have, because of COVID, we have very strict rules and a protocol for this whole thing. I've actually been quarantining now. I've been tested. I'm negative, so I'm able to go. We will quarantine for a couple of days when we get there. We get tested again. We are working in a bubble. We are being tested while we're in the bubble. This is, you know, there's a lot of risk in what we're doing here, but, you know, everybody has been read the rules. Everybody has agreed. So as long as everybody, you know, behaves, I think we should be able to get through this unscathed.
Yeah.
So we keep our fingers crossed, but, you know, it's going to be pretty intense. We haven't done a show like this before, and under these outlying circumstances, it's going to make everything just a little more difficult, but we're going to be fine. We're going to pull this off. I have total faith in this.
Now, where is this going to take place?
We are doing this in Nashville. We're rehearsing down there, rehearsal facility in Nashville, and then we are going to a building called PRG, and it's basically a huge building which we're going to build a stage inside.
I got you. Yeah.
So the production team is already laying this out. You know, we've got a very unique stage set up. It's going to be spectacular. And to be honest with you, I won't even know what it's going to be until I get there. But we've got all the right people in place to make this thing happen. And honestly, with the standard that TSO has set for its live shows, we wouldn't do anything if it couldn't measure up to that. So even though you're not going to be snowed on, or you're not going to feel the heat from the flames, I know it's going to be quite a show coming out of the TV for you.
Yeah, well, that's an understatement that you guys, your production guys, do it upright. So it's going to be spectacular. And that starts up on December 18th here, as people can watch TSO from the comfort of their own home this time around. So before we started, you were talking about your other project here, this All Terrain. Now, this the album is called Mother's Day, and it comes out on January 8th. Is that correct?
That's correct. Yes, sir.
All right. So tell me about that project.
So this is something that's really been in the works for almost 30 years. Some of the music for this was written with a friend, Matt Leff, back in Boston when I lived out there. Long story, short story, our lead vocalist at the time was Zach Stevens. And Zach became the lead singer in the band Sabotage.
Mm.
And then he brought me into the band Sabotage.
Mm-hmm.
Then Sabotage recorded Christmas Eve, Sarajevo, 1224. And here we are talking about TSO 25 years later.
Right.
But the All Terrain project was something that I had always wanted to do. And I just put my mind to it a couple of years ago and started finishing some of these songs. I had a whole slew of lyrics and ideas. So I began putting it all together with some guys here locally. And it really came out fantastic. I'm very, very proud of it. Honestly, this year with this COVID year shutting everything down, it really gave me the opportunity to just focus on this, and I got a lot of work done. I learned a lot, but the album is finished. We do have a song out right now called Immortal, and it's been received very well. The album comes out January 8th, like you mentioned, and yeah, it's very cool. It's been a lifelong idea and a project in the work for many, many years, but I'm really proud that I've got it done.
Yeah, I can't wait to check that out. I didn't get a chance to listen to that first track yet, but yeah, like you said, January 8th. So I just talked to you like a month ago. We plugged the TSO. We talked about that stuff. So I just wanted to throw out some questions too, because I know you do these interviews a lot and stuff. So I'll just throw out some random questions and see if we can trip you up on anything, okay?
Okay, let's do it.
Well, first of all, you just mentioned Sabotage. So where does Sabotage stand right now at the end of 2020?
Well, the last show that we did was at the Wacken Open Air Festival over in Germany. That was 2015.
Okay.
That was, you know, Sabotage / TSO. If you get a chance, anybody gets a chance, go online and look this show up, because TSO, East and West, are performing at the same time on two of the main stages at this festival. It's never been done before. It was just such a miraculous thing that we pulled this off, But to the Sabotage question, you know, of course, this has been, it's been a long time since we've actually done a record, that we've actually done a tour. Hey, you know, I would like to think that maybe we can record some music sometime in the future, but this is really up to John Oliva and the O'Neill family. And, you know, obviously we've got plenty of work to do with TSO, and most everybody involved is doing other things too. But, hey, you know, I will never say never. So I just say we keep our fingers crossed, and, you know, maybe sometime down the road we can do something.
Yeah, Paul told me one time about that that Wacken show that you were just talking about, because he was always into, you know, not very big spectacles. So he didn't really want to be a part of that, I'm sure.
Oh, my God.
No, he told me, he goes, yeah, we were only going to do this show if we could do one thing and have both stages. And the way he talked about it was like crazy. So do you remember the first time you met him?
Yes. The first time I met him, I had just been called in 1994 to come down to Florida. Sabotage had, their original drummer had left the band, so Zach said, you know, hey, I got your guy. So I went to Florida, and I met Paul and John Oliva for the first time. They were actually in the studio recording the record Handful of Rain. And the drum parts, everything had already been done. They were just finishing up some vocals and things. So, you know, John was just the nicest guy. Paul was just the nicest guy. Mm-hmm. We sat and we talked. You know, Paul kind of, you know, asked me a bunch of questions and this and that and every other thing. But we really hit it off quite well. And, you know, I tell you, Sabotage had been through so many changes at that point. And John Oliva's brother, Chris, had just recently been killed in a car accident. Mm-hmm. So it really just threw Sabotage into turmoil. And being brought into it at that time, you know, I was just so thankful I finally landed a gig. You know, this was like I'd been dreaming of doing this my whole life. And here I came into this situation that was so fragile. But John and Paul were just as strong and committed as ever. And, you know, Sabotage regrouped, we went on the road, and we had a really nice resurgence there. And alongside of that, TSO was born. So a lot of really great things happened right after I joined the band. And, you know, I was just very lucky to be there.
Yeah, Paul, I had a chance to interview him a bunch of times over the phone, just like we're doing now when TSO comes around. And he was so nice. He sent me gold records and everything. It's like he was just the nicest guy.
Yes, he was. Yeah. He was very, very generous. And you know, it's interesting. I would love if people could have ever, you know, watched him through my eyes or somebody else in TSO, because to see Paul work in the realm of TSO, especially at rehearsals, there was nothing like it. You know, he would just had so much energy and commitment to this project, and he was focused on every detail. You know, this was his baby. He wrote all these lyrics. He wrote all these stories. He produced everything. He was, you know, one of the main songwriters. He really just was so committed to this project. And hey, he created TSO, and he created something that's going to live on forever. It's just a very cool thing to be a part of, and, you know, we would never be here without Paul.
Yeah. So we're getting into the Christmas time, and, you know, like you were saying, you've been, you know, traveling and touring the last, you know, two decades around Christmas time. So what is your favorite Christmas movie?
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Of course, right?
Yeah, absolutely, man. I love that movie. That's,
so apparently you haven't seen any new ones in the last two decades, right?
Oh, my God. You know, honestly, when you're on the road doing this, when you come off the stage, you kind of shut a lot of that off. A lot of time is mainly, for me, it's just getting rest. You know, I literally kind of shut off the media. I shut off everything besides, you know, talking to the wife and staying connected with some people. But as far as the Christmas movie thing, you know, every year, Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, when we have time off, I'm channel surfing. And if I find that show, I will sit there and watch it to the end, no matter what point in the movie it's in. But that is something that I remember as a child watching that, and it's always been in my mind.
Yeah, classic for sure. What's your most prized piece of rock memorabilia that you own? Do you have any?
Oh, man. You know, probably some pictures. And these revolve around events with TSO. There was this period of time where Paul brought in some special guests to perform with TSO. And the first one was John Anderson from Yes.
Mm.
And I remember being on stage, sitting in the rehearsal, and it's like John Anderson is on the stage in front of me, and I'm playing Roundabout with John Anderson. What other drummers besides Bruford and Alan White have ever done this?
Right.
You know, it was just such a pinch-me moment, you know. And then the following year we had, I think, Greg Lake from ELP, Steven Tyler from Aerosmith, Roger Daltrey, who was just the most amazing guy. He was awesome. God, who else? Ian Hunter, Robin Zander, Joe Walsh. You know, there was a string of years where we had these people play with us. And, you know, and like I said, being on stage with these guys, these are my heroes. You know, Aerosmith is something I remember being 12 years old, listening to Aerosmith and just dreaming of doing that. And here I am playing Dream On and Sweet Emotion with Steven Tyler. It was just so cool. But yeah, I've got pictures with these men, and you know, I've got them displayed. It's very, very cool.
And final thing here for you, and then we'll cut you loose. I just talked to Ahmed Zappa. Did Frank Zappa ever move you? Do you ever get influenced by any of his music?
Boy, you know, yes, but not a lot. You know, when I was first exposed to Frank Zappa, I was in the world of Aerosmith and Blue Oyster Cult and Kiss and Van Halen. All of a sudden, Zappa comes along and is like, oh, my God, can my brain even keep up with this? This is just so bizarre and out there. But if you could just focus on, you know, for me, it was just focusing on the drummer. It's like, oh, my God. You know, Terry Bozzio and these other people that played with him back in the day, just phenomenal. Oh, my God. But yeah, some of that music was, even for somebody like myself who loves progressive music and jazz and everything, some of that was just a little hard to get a handle on, but hey, credit to him. You know, it's all about being original, and Frank Zappa was just that, and, you know, he certainly left a mark.
Yes, he did. They got the new documentary out I was just talking about a few minutes ago with Ahmet, and it's really well done and worth watching. So, well, listen, Jeff, thanks so much for the time. As always, December 18th, of course, people can get TSO, and we've been giving away viewings and live streams on the radio. And, of course, they can punch up the website, WRIF.com, and they'll take you to all the stuff that you can purchase your live stream as well. So thanks for everything, and have a great Christmas, okay?
Yeah, you too. Stay safe, stay healthy, happy holidays, and hopefully we get to see you next year in person.
Jeff, play today on Talkin' Rock with Meltdown. Good guy right there, great drummer. If you get a chance to watch that live stream next week, if you've seen TSO before, you know how good he is. They're always looking for something with a drummer back there behind the kit with some flash and flair, as one of my friends once told me. Anyways, friends, I'm getting ready to wrap this podcast up, but not before I tell you about a podcast I've got coming up in the future. Let me see. I don't like to jinx myself by telling you exactly who the guests are, but let's just say that before the end of this week, as far as things go right now, okay, as I record this on Wednesday, as far as things go right now, either Thursday or Friday, I'll have another podcast with somebody who has, stirred up the hornet's nest on social media a lot this year. As a matter of fact, I think the account with his band has been suspended. So let's just leave it at that. All right. Subscribe, check back often, and thanks so much for checking out Talkin' Rock.
Thank you for listening to Talkin' Rock with Meltdown. You can help this podcast grow by giving it a 5-star rating and writing a review on Apple and iTunes. Plus, feel free to subscribe and share it with your friends. Until next time, thanks for listening to Talkin' Rock.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.